For the Connell family gathered here, I suspect that today's second reading from the book of Revelation has a particular resonance, considering that a week or so ago, they had the experience of a bride adorned for her husband when Colleen was married. And today, our opening prayer, the collect, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those who are pleased to make new and holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit. I don't exactly think that they looked at these scripture readings and these prayers in scheduling the family celebrations that they have been rejoicing with. However, I also wouldn't put it past them. And yet, how wonderful it is for us in this Easter season to have these scriptures today to reflect and pray on as we are celebrating baptism. Constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us. And we hear that in our gospel today when Jesus speaks of the Father glorifying the Son of Man. Because in John's gospel, the glorification of Jesus is in his being lifted up. Lifted up on the cross, lifted up in the resurrection, lifted up in the ascension. All of those in John's gospel are one event. And so we pray today that the Lord will constantly accomplish that Paschal mystery in us. Because every time we gather here, we are gathered as God's people in our baptism, being signed and joined with Christ in his dying and his rising. And so becoming a member of the family of the church, a member of Christ's own body, a member who look forward to and who already now live in the new heavens and the new earth that we heard about in our second reading. The lines in our reading, I think, are prayers that all of us pray. Parents and grandparents for their children, we for our own life and for all the people that we care about. Think about a world, think about a life in which every tear has been wiped from our eyes, where there will be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain. Don't we want that for ourselves and our own life? Don't we want that for the members of our family, for our friends, for the people that we care about? Don't we want that for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren? Don't we really want that for our world? I think deep within us, every single human being is a longing for that life, for that reality. And that's the image, not of just of the new heavens and the new earth that the book of Revelation speaks of, but really what God's plan is for human life and for our world. As Deacon Leo said last week, that the people tend to read the book of Revelation as if it were a crystal ball that shows what's going to happen in the future. And he said it's not that way. It was written for the people of that time, people whose faith was being tested, who knew the reality of suffering and persecution. But at the same time, because it is the Word of God, it is a living Word. And so it is written for us as well, here and now, today. And the new heavens and the new earth are not just sometime, someday in heaven, which is what the image of the book of Revelation gives us, but also the reality of our life in Christ today, here, and now. In Mikhail Ann's baptism, in just a few moments, she enters into the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And she already begins to live the life of the resurrection, already begins to live God's victory over sin and death in the dying and rising of Jesus Christ. All of us who are gathered here in this church today are also, even as pilgrim people, gathered into that new Jerusalem that the book of Revelation speaks of, because of the dignity of our baptism, because of the paschal mystery that is constantly at work in us. The temptation that we face is the temptation that says, how is that possible? Tears are very real, and we cry tears. Death is very real. Suffering and pain and mourning is very real. The wailing and the pain is everywhere in our world. How can that be true? The key for that is what we hear in the gospel. If we love one another as Christ has loved us, we are living in that new creation. We are already experiencing what the world that has been restored and is being restored in Christ looks like. When we love one another, when we care for one another, as Christ has loved us, then we know that we may not escape the suffering of Christ, and we may, in fact, be in the midst of that suffering and struggling. We know that we are not abandoned. We know that we are not alone. We know that we have people with us to hold us up, to help us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to give us what we need to continue. And so the reality of the reign of God is already there in which we receive the love of others when we love others as Christ has loved us. One of the things that I like to say, and I'll say this to you, Christopher and Molly, is that Mikhail Ann's Christian formation, her growth in Christ, does not wait until the time when she can begin to ask about God, to learn about God, to begin to be told the stories. It begins right now. Right now. Because what you are doing, what your family does, the people who care about her is doing, is loving her unconditionally. And so right now you are communicating to her by your love, by your care, by your devotion to her, the God who loves us unconditionally as well. You are the sacraments right now of God's love and God's goodness and God's mercy. And she doesn't understand that rationally, but she is experiencing that. We can always tell children who have been loved and children who haven't been loved, when we say to them, God loves you. God loves you very much, and you're very special to God. When a child is loved, they can take that in, and you can understand, you can see sometimes in their face, in their bodies, how you have not given them any new information. You're just helping them to name what they've always experienced. The children who are not loved and not cared for, when you say to them, you know, you're very special and God loves you very much, most of the time, they won't argue with you about that. They won't say, oh, that can't possibly be true. They'll accept it. But you can see in their faces and in their bodies that what you've done is you've given them a piece of information. And it might be in their head, but that's the only place it is, because it's not in their hearts. It's not in their experience. It's not in their lives. People who know terrible suffering and struggle, when they are loved, trust in the goodness of God and can experience the presence of God, even in the midst of that struggle and suffering. People who are abandoned and alone, the people who feel unloved, who feel that there's no one to care for them, no one who cares about them, struggle and feel very alone, very isolated. And they are the ones who most of all wonder if there's a God, wonder if God possibly could care. And in their heart of heart, perhaps, really believes that what they are going through is the punishment of God because of what they have said or what they have done. It is when we love one another with the unconditional love and the mercy of God that the new heavens and the new earth is a reality in this imperfect world. That the day of no more wailing or pain can become a reality even amidst the suffering of our world. When we can advance in some small way the coming of the new heavens and the new earth that the book of Revelation promises, and we can trust and hope that God's grace is at work in our world, that God's grace is at work in us, that our lives and our world are being transformed because the Paschal mystery is constantly at work in us, bringing us who are baptized ever more deeply into Christ and in the fullness of his life and in his resurrection.